Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Ringside Reporter Podcast. My name is Eric Lorda, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and England's adopted son, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, you can catch us on the web at ringsidereporter.com. If you want to call and ask questions or just give your 2 cents, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. Hit option one if you want to talk to us, and we'll be here till about 9 o'clock, man. It's going to be a quick news show, man. We are here today to talk about the big news, and the big news is Andre Ward versus...
Hit option one if you want
to... Oh...
Sorry about that.
That's Chief. All right, man. Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev has been signed. The second fight has been signed. Rock Nation Sports main events, Andre Ward Promotions and Crusher Promotions are pleased to announce the highly anticipated rematch of the Unified Light Heavyweight Championship of the World. Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev, and the event is titled No Excuses. It'll take place June 17th at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. The championship event presented by Corona Extra will be produced and distributed live by HBO Pay-Per-View beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. in the West. Beeb, when you first heard this, what did you think about? What went through your mind? I mean, because we had been talking about this. They had talked about this, you know, and possibly not happening. Andre Ward talked about retiring. What were your thoughts when you heard this news today?
I just think this was all head games, you know, him not announcing this rematch right away, kind of making Sergey Kovalev have to think, wow, is this fight really going to happen or not? Because he's already in Sergey Kovalev's head. You know what I'm saying? Telling him that you know, he's not in charge, that I'm in charge. So the psychological warfare has begun even before the fight is signed. I say that all the time. And this has begun, and it never really ended from the first fight. I mean, this just spilled right over into this fight because there seems to be bad blood, obviously, between Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward, more so on Sergey Kovalev's side because obviously he did not agree with the decision. But, you know, he's the one that is really taking shots at Andre Ward. Andre Ward just basically kind of dismissing him and laughing at him and saying, you can say whatever you want. I got the W. I got your belts. Now it's up to you to come take them back. But, yeah, he's basically just letting him know that, you know what, the rematch happens when I say it happens. So again, just utilizing his leverage and you know, playing the game of A side, B side, so to speak. And you know, he was the A side without the titles, and now he has the title. So he, you know, he's the A side and then some now, in my opinion. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, man, it's you know, he is the A side, no question about it. I mean, he's got the belt. He's got all the belts now, got all the bargaining power, got all the leverage. And it's funny that you say that we talked about the mind games in this. He has, you know, he has the rematch agreement, so he's not going anywhere without being sued. You know, if he does, he's going to get sued. He's got no option other than to retire or fight Kovalev next. That's his options. But he still managed to do it his way, on his terms, on his timeline and everything like that. And Sergey's not happy about it. You know, I can't imagine Kovalev is happy to get the rematch. I imagine this is a lot more time than he wanted, though. Robert, what were your thoughts when you heard this news?
Well, I can remember when we broke down the first fight and we talked about it afterwards, we were saying if a rematch was going to happen, there would probably be an easier fight for Andre Ward because of the way he controlled the second half of the fight. You know, and basically the first half of the fight was the way Kovalev wanted it, and the second half of the fight was the way Ward wanted it. You know, in a sense, I'm wondering if this is going to be a dull rematch because Ward has already established what he's going to be able to do with Kovalev in the second half of the first fight. So if Ward comes in with the same game plan that he used in the second half of the first fight, I wonder if people are really going to be excited about actually watching this fight again.
Well, I got to be honest. I think the only way he implements that game plan, he implemented in the second half of the fight, he's got to go to the body in the first half of the fight. And that's what
right.
he was doing. He was trying to work Kovalev down. And, of course, you know, in order to do that, he's still got to take that risk. And you saw what the risk happened in the second round of that fight. You know, he almost got cleaned up. So, I mean, he was definitely hurt that second round. And I thought, Robbie, how did you have the fight score the first time around?
I agreed with Harold Letterman. I had it 116-111 Kovalev.
I think that's what I had it, too. I'm fairly certain that's what I had. Let me actually double-check here. But I know I had Kovalev winning by a fair margin. Yeah, let me see here if I got it still. Da, da, da. There's been a lot of fights since then.
Yeah, November 19th, if that helps.
Yeah. Kovalev Ward, 116-111. That's how I scored it.
Yeah.
I scored 115-112 for Ward, and I'll tell you, I gave Andre Ward rounds 7 through 12. I really thought he swept the second half of the fight. I thought the first half of the fight, obviously Kovalev won that one. I gave Kovalev 4 of the first 6 rounds.
Right.
So obviously, he had that 10-8 round. But after that, after round 6, I just thought Kovalev just really went to sleep in the fight. I thought his output and his whole game plan just totally took a nosedive, in my opinion. And I obviously got to credit that to Andre Ward. I think Andre Ward really started figuring him out. And that's, you know, what a lot of people are thinking, that in the rematch, he's going to pick up where he left off. It's going to be round 13. And, you know, even people that thought Andre Ward lost the first fight, they're saying he's going to win the rematch. So go figure. You know, what's the thought process behind that? Do you guys think Andre Ward is going to win this? Or do you still ride with Kovalev? I mean, I know all of us picked Ward before the fight, before the first fight. But what do you guys think going into this rematch? Based off what you've seen in the first fight, have you changed your mind about Ward at all going into this rematch?
I haven't. I haven't. I'll tell you, you know, the thing is with Ward, I had Ward in the first fight. Of course, I scored it for Kovalev. I thought Kovalev soundly won the fight. And I gave Andre Ward 7-9-11 in the last half of the fight. So I thought they split the last half of the fight. I thought he did better in the second half of the fight. But just, again, man, because you do better doesn't mean you win the fight. So, yeah, man, I had Andre Ward winning. I had Andre Ward winning 3 of the last 6 rounds. I still had Kovalev winning that fight fairly easy. But now as far as the rematch, I picked Ward in the first fight. I'll pick Ward again. Again, until somebody shows me that they can beat Ward, you know, then you got to pick him. I mean, he's undefeated. You got to ride with him. You know, Kovalev has proven he can get a chance. But the thing is, the thing about Kovalev is that, you know, again, can he do it again? And if he does it again, does it matter? Does he get the nod? That I don't know. You know, because he's already proven to me that he can beat Ward, but he hasn't proven that he can get that nod yet, you know. And like I said, it's all subjective with the judges. Some judges thought Ward got it, and some judges thought that Kovalev got it. And then as far as Press Row goes and everybody else, they all thought the same thing. They all saw it as a, you know, not necessarily a 50-50 fight, but they had a lot of people saying Ward won it too. So it wasn't as lopsided as, you know, we may have thought when it first came down.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I do think Andre Ward will win the second fight, and it'll be a lot easier than the first fight was. Remember, all 3 official scorecards had it 114-113 for Ward. So, you know, Kovalev did not win on any of the scorecards. And, you know, and the fight is going to take place in the same place, same arena. So you're going to have the same kind of judges, I would imagine. So I would imagine if Ward fights the same kind of fight that he fought the first time around, he'll probably get the nod again. And look, I have certain problems with Andre Ward, but Eric is right. Until somebody proves that they can actually beat him in the ring, I don't think he's going to lose this fight. I really don't. I don't know what Sergey Kovalev can change in the second fight from the first fight. Is he willing to give the same kind of effort that he gave in the first half of the fight throughout the fight? That's a big question. I don't know if he's capable of doing it for 36 minutes.
The other thing, too, is that this is taking place at Mandalay Bay. Didn't the last one take place at T-Mobile?
You're right.
Yeah, the new one will be taking place at Mandalay Bay Event Center.
Okay.
And, yeah, and I think that, you know, it's funny because you said that, you know, will he be able to do it? I think he's going to bring everything he has. But again, there's going to be different strategies, like you said, Robert. I mean, can Kovalev bring the same type of intensity? I believe he can. I believe he's going to bring it. But the thing is, Ward's not going to bring the same exact game. You know, and I think that's the thing, man. He did such a good job in that first fight of making those adjustments. That's what impressed me. You know, he did a good job making adjustments. Again, I thought he lost the fight, but again, you saw that he adjusted, brought his way back into the fight, because after that second round, Kovalev, I mean, you know, the fact Ward should have been finished off after that second round, man. And
right.
Ward is just a sound boxer, man. He's a tough out, man.
Yeah.
I don't really think he was exceptionally hurt, though. I kind of thought it was a flash knockdown. I thought that he took the shot well. It's just caught with a punch that he wasn't prepared to take. I thought Kovalev did drop a nice little feint on him, and then he kind of snuck the right hand behind it. He seemed to be okay when he got up. I didn't think he was in any serious trouble. I just thought it was a flash knockdown.
Yeah, I thought he was in trouble. I thought when he went down, and you could see in his eyes, and when he got back up and started boxing, I thought he was in trouble. I thought he was in, you know, he wasn't, I thought he was definitely dazed, put it that way. I thought he definitely got stung by that. That wasn't just my opinion anyway.
Well, when he went down, he was kind of smiling to himself like, Jesus, I got caught. How'd I get caught with that shot?
Yeah.
He didn't look like, I don't know. I didn't think he looked hurt to me. I thought he was going to be fine after that knockdown. That's what I felt.
Yeah.
Well, let's compare knockdowns, guys. I agree with Eric. I thought Andre Ward was hurt when he got knocked down, but go back to the Daniel Jacobs Triple G fight. When Jacobs got knocked down in the fourth round in that fight, I knew when Daniel Jacobs got up that he wasn't hurt. He wasn't affected by it. And you could tell right after the fight picked up, Jacobs was in much better shape than Ward was. I think it depends on how a fighter can react after a knockdown. And in my opinion, Jacobs reacted a lot better after his than Ward did in the beginning. And it took him a round or two to get himself organized. But once the second half of the fight started, from round seven on, he kind of just took over and did what he wanted.
Who did what he wanted? You're talking about, you think Ward won the second half
of the
fight?
I'm talking about Ward. He did what he wanted, you know, in the second half of the fight, pretty much.
Really? How did you score the fight? How did you score? How did you say 116? How did you score the second half of it?
I scored it like you did, Eric. I gave Ward three out of the last six, but you know, I did. If you go back and you watch the replay of it, and you see the strategy that he used, it's obvious now, looking back on it, hindsight is 20/20. Ward recovered from that knockdown, and once round seven started, he's like, okay, I've weathered the storm. Now I can do what I want. And it's up to Kovalev in the second fight to, take that away from Ward, not make Ward feel comfortable in there where he can do what he wants.
I kind of disagree in the sense that, like I said, in the second half of that fight, I didn't think Ward took it over. I mean, that's just my opinion, though. If we split the rounds, I mean, 3-3, that's not exactly taken over. And I think my other thing was, if Kovalev, to me, doesn't die on the vine in the sense that, like, you know, he took a lot of body shots. If they can make those adjustments and Kovalev can keep that pressure going on him, I think, man, I think we might be looking at a different fight. But again, like I said, until somebody proves me wrong, I got to roll with Andre. But that being said, you know, Andre Ward is a good, good fighter, a good body puncher. And I think if he takes that and he starts early and he starts often, I think he has – Ward definitely has the tools to frustrate Kovalev. But I was really impressed with – to me, man, in that first fight, the way Kovalev boxed, I was really impressed with him. Because I thought – and I think we all thought going into that fight, that's it. That's all he's got. He's got a puncher's chance, and that's it against Ward. And to me, he proved that he can outbox Ward because I thought he did outbox him in that first fight. Like I said, I had a 116-111. Robbie had the same thing. Letterman had the same thing. But again, Beeb saw the fight differently, and so did the judges. So that's at the end of the day, man, that's the only ones that count.
I know.
So, and there was a question in the chat that Loma, that not Loma, but Regan Dow will be on the undercard. I think he will. I'm hearing that he will. And who... They just came out with it. I can't remember. Maybe it's on the website. I'm not 100%. We'll find out here in a little bit. or maybe I'll have it for you on Sunday show. But Rigo is going to fight somebody. They're actually putting it together now. And, yeah, I am hearing he's going to be on that Ward Kovalev 2 undercard. So
yeah, I heard the same thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping Tyler McCurry makes it on that undercard as well. Also, the guy from Ohio we interviewed, super nice guy, man, and he's part of Rock Nation as well. So hopefully we get some of the Ohio guys on that card. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, it should be a good night of boxing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Definitely,
yep.
Definitely looks like it's shaping up to be a solid card.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
And
now,
prepare.
The other big news.
Go ahead. I was going to say, go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
The other big news that happened today, Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez versus Srisaket Sorungvisai, and I'm sure I butchered his name, will have a sequel. The WBC received a request from Tekken Promotions, K2 Promotions, to order a direct rematch between their fighter, Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, and Srisaket Sorungvisai for their sensational fight of March 18th, which was won by majority decision, very disputed majority decision. For Sorungvisai. The WBC Board of Governors considers that due to the extraordinary fight, which was extremely close considering the WBC championship rules regarding accidental headbutts were not used, but most importantly, considering public demand to witness once again the great fight between these two fighters, so it has been ordered. So this brings up an interesting thing. I don't know. The WBC says that the rules regarding accidental headbutts were not used. Does anybody know what this means?
They used to have a rule, and I don't know if they still have it. You remember when Julio Cesar Chavez fought Frankie Randall, and there was an accidental headbutt? And I guess, from what I remember, the fighter that actually suffers a cut, like, if you suffer a cut, then the other guy that headbutted you has to get a point taken away from them.
But I thought that's
what happened in that Chavez Randall fight. And that's why there was a controversial decision at the end of that.
Refresh my mind on that because I remember that fight and they went to the scorecards. Is that because Chavez couldn't continue or the doctor said he couldn't continue?
The doctor said he couldn't continue because of the butt, but also because he was the one that was cut. It's actually a stupid rule, in my opinion. So the uncut fighter the uncut fighter gets a point taken away from him because he wasn't cut and he administered a cut on somebody on his opponent. That's what it was back then, and I haven't really heard about it in a long time. And I thought it kind of went away, but if it's still the same, then they're probably saying that. Sorungvisai should have had some points taken away from the butts. That seems to be they are implying from what you're telling me. But that was the old rule back in the day, and I don't know if it's changed at all.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're talking about here. with that, I mean, would that? I guess that would have changed it. That would have been a draw then, I guess. Would that?
Maybe,
I don't remember the scores.
Yeah, well, with all those headbutts, at least 2 points would have gotten taken away,
I would think. Well, that's the thing. I think that was my thing. And they said, well, the people I was sitting next to during the fight, they were like, well, it's accidental. They can't really do anything. You can, because you can't just keep doing something on accident. Something's got to be done. You can't keep fouling on accident. Something's got to be done.
It sounds like it's accidentally on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you can't. You got to do something about that. So, yeah, for sure. Who do you think wins this rematch, Beebe?
I think Gonzalez ekes it out, yeah.
I think so, too.
I mean, I thought he won the first fight, so.
Yeah, I had him winning the first fight pretty handily. Let me see here. Let me see what I had here.
Well, I hope they don't schedule this anytime soon, because Gonzalez has got to recover, man.
115, 111 for Gonzalez is how I scored the first fight. Yeah, I just didn't think that – I thought Gonzalez was the harder puncher. I don't know if he was more active, but he was definitely getting the bigger punches in, and it wasn't like he was not active. I mean, he was very – you know, he was still active. You know, Rungvisai didn't do – I mean, he's a good fighter, don't get me wrong, but – I just thought Chocolatito won the fight. I mean, I thought he won it pretty easy, too. I thought he was I was shocked, and I think everybody around us, the entire arena, was shocked when they gave that fight to Rungvisai. So, Robert, what are your thoughts on this fight?
Like I said, I hope they don't schedule this anytime soon, because Gonzalez is going to have to have some serious recovery time. You know, he got pretty well beat up in there. I think he won the fight, even though I think I scored it a draw. But, you know, he is a better fighter. But I hope they give him sufficient enough time to recover, because otherwise his face is going to look like that all over again.
You know what the problem in this fight, though, just to piggyback off what Robbie said? Yeah, I think the facial damage is going to be a problem also in the second fight, because again, he's been busting up every fight now for the last couple of fights,
yeah.
It seems, Gonzalez, that is. So it's not, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility he's gonna bust up again in this fight. And if he busts up again, it's not something that's gonna, you know, make the fight any easier for him, because you think you got that blood going in your eye, then you fight a little bit more anxious because you're concerned about the cuts. You got, as I said, you got the anxiety flowing, the adrenaline's flowing alongside it. So, you know, one thing I noticed in the fight, though, Rungvisai was really taking the shots well from Gonzalez, and he was almost walking through them. And who's to say it's not going to be more headbutts in the rematch? The only question is, will the rematch be officiated any differently? Could Rungvisai even get disqualified at the same series of events occurs in the rematch? That's a possibility as well, too. But it's also a possibility that, you know, Gonzalez could have left something in the ring that night in the first fight, and it seems as though he has. Even against the Quadras, I thought he left something in the ring, and ever since that fight, I'm starting to see a decline a little bit. So
I think the Quadras fight took a lot.
Will he have declined enough that Rungvisai could take advantage of it and really put the nail in the coffin and just finish him off in style and put the icing on the cake this time? Because I honestly think the fight was still competitive. I thought it was close. I just thought that Gonzalez eked it out. It's not like he clearly won the fight. A lot of people are talking about, oh, he clearly won the fight. I thought that Rungvisai made a hell of an account of himself, either if you thought he lost. Win, lose, or draw, you know, he still put in some work, and he still, you know, put the hurt on Gonzalez. He was landing some good shots in that fight himself, in my opinion. So, if anything, we're going to be in for another great fight, and I think it's going to be competitive once again.
Beebe, let me ask you, because you're good at breaking down fights. What was the problem in the first fight? Why were there so many headbutts?
This Rungvisai kid, I just think, obviously you had a southpaw and orthodox, number one, but this Rungvisai kid, he just keeps coming forward. And not only that, too, because Gonzalez himself, he likes to bend down a little bit, too. I'm not saying he was leaning forward, But, you know, you got two guys who don't take a backward step. And then you got an orthodox and a southpaw. It's just bound to happen. And Rungvisai really, really does lean in when he throws his punches. It's almost like, you know, Tim Bradley. People would say that Tim Bradley was an intentional headbutter, but it was just the style of fighting that he had. Because, you know, he would throw his right hand. He would bring his head along with it. He'd throw his whole body into the punch. If you remember, when he would throw that right hand over the top, it's almost like he threw it from his back pocket. He'd come over the top. And, you know, he'd duck up underneath shots a lot, and he would get low, and he would come up real hard and heavy with his head. And if you were there, so be it. Like, it's not like he made a conscious effort to not headbutt you. It's like, if you were there, you were there. If I make head contact, I make head contact. I'm not going to change the aggressive way I fight. And that's just how Rungvisai is, too. You know, he's just an aggressive, come-forward guy. And, you know, the head, you know, has a tendency to go along with the punches when he throws the punches. And he steps in with everything. It's not like this guy just kind of leans back and works from the outside. No, he's stepping forward. He's looking to close the gap. He's an inside guy. So you got two guys who aren't afraid to get deep in the pocket and slug it out. That's going to happen.
Very good. Very good. Also, too, the WBC has announced Carlos Cuadras versus Juan Francisco Estrada. The WBC convention ruling had ordered the winner of the March 18th fight between Cuadras and Chocolatito to happen, and that's not going to happen because they're going to rematch now. The WBC is ordering an interim championship between the two highest available contenders, Carlos Cuadras, Juan Francisco Estrada. The winners of both fights will fight each other next. God bless the WBC. What do you think of this match, Beeb? Carlos Cuadras, Juan Francisco Estrada.
That sounds like a hell of a fight, man.
Yeah,
it's
right?
It's another can't miss.
Wow.
Do you think put this on the fight over card?
Yeah.
The same card?
I wonder where it's going to be.
It would be nice if they did, but we'll see.
Wow.
We'll see.
You know what would be awesome?
What a doubleheader that would be. Wow.
Wouldn't it be
yeah.
awesome? And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But wouldn't it be awesome if Triple G and Canelo fought in September and these three fights were on the card?
Oh, my
there
God.
You go.
Wow. Chris, that's Don King-esque right there. That's
yeah.
like a Don King type of card.
Yeah, that brings back the good old days.
Yeah, yeah right? Because if I'm going to pay $100 for a card, I mean, I want to see this kind of action on there. Because, yeah,
you got
I mean,
it.
That's an amazing fight. Amazing fight. Just on Twitter about an hour ago, Sergey Kovalev tweeted out, hashtag WardKovalev2, be ready, mother bleep. I'll finish your boxing career. Wow. Sergey, I don't know if you guys saw the other thing that Andre Ward put out. Andre Ward put out when he announced the fight, he put down, you know, he's got like his belts on the pool table, like or belts on the table like Floyd Mayweather did. And and he said, you know, you wanted the rematch, you know, you got it now and blah, blah, blah. So the two are really talking trash to each other. You know, it's going to be a fun buildup, man. And I think I don't know that if Andre Ward is in his head. I just don't think he likes Andre Ward. You know, I think it's a grudge. It's these two really don't like each other.
I agree with that.
Oh no, man, they just don't like each other.
You know what it is too. It was the same thing with Karl Frotch. Like Andre Ward just frustrates you in there. Like it's aggravating that you just can't hit this guy the way you want to hit him in there. It has to be.
It has to be right.
It has to be. He frustrates the hell out of people. And I think after they fight him, he leaves a bad taste in a lot of his opponent's mouth. I mean, to this day, Karl Frotch is still talking smack about him. If you go, he listens to interviews with Karl. He listens to Karl Frotch being interviewed, man. He's like, I hate that Andre Ward style. It's a horrible style.
It's almost like that one that got away. It's the one that got away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then he's like, after I lost to Andre Ward, then I went and fought Lucien Boutte. I was so mad about that Andre Ward performance, I took it out on Lucien Butte, and I smashed him to bits, he says. That's hilarious, man.
Yeah, because Lucien Butte is Andre Ward, you know?
Oh, God. It's hilarious. That's hilarious.
That's funny, man. All right. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. On the last show, we talked about the pick of Chavez Jr. and how ripped he looks. The speculation that he was around like 180 or so. Turns out we were wrong. Nacho Berstein said in an interview that Chavez Jr. weighs 172 pounds in the photo that has been floating around. Beeb, did you see this photo?
I did. I thought he looked like he weighed 175. I think you said 180. I was hearing like
180 and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, he was lighter than what I thought, but not by much.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let me see if I can bring this up here. If it'll let me.
That's what clenbuterol will do for you, man.
It's that meat in Mexico, man. They got that stuff there.
He's on a ketogenic diet.
Is he really? Is it keto?
No, I'm just kidding.
Beeb's got the Heredia stuff going on.
Oh, God. He's on a ketogenic diet. He's stacking clenbuterol and DNP, baby.
He's stacking.
Oh, God. I'm going to get
sued. Get yourself on the suspended list.
So, Robert, what do you think of Chavez Jr. weighing 172?
Actually, being April 4th and the fight being May the 6th, if the weight is true, I think that's a good weight for him right now. We're 32 days out.
Yeah, that's not bad.
We're 32 days out. If it's true, good on him.
So do you think this helps him? Do you think it hurts him? Or do you think he has a shot?
If this is true, I think he's got a shot.
So what's he got? He's got 8 pounds to go?
Yeah, 164 and a half.
Yeah,
seven and a half pounds
yeah.
to go then.
Seven and a half.
Yeah.
He'll be at weight probably 2 weeks before the fight at this rate. Wow.
Yeah, and keep on thinking,
I wonder if it's water weight he's got to come out of or what. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, and here's another problem. He looked pretty dry already. He looks pretty dry already.
You think so? In that sauna picture he has?
Yeah, he looked dry.
Oh. I don't know, man.
You know,
It doesn't look like I'm going to bring that up.
It's only 7.5 pounds. That's not, I don't know. I'm kind of like on the fence here. I think it's going to be
But remember, there's all kinds of financial penalties, and they have a rehydration clause, I believe.
No, they don't. Yeah, that's the other thing.
No, they don't? Okay.
No, that's the other thing I heard that, you know, that's the fact is they don't have a rehydration clause.
Okay,
so,
they don't.
Yeah,
good.
They don't.
All right, good.
So, rehydration clause there. And it doesn't look like it's going to let me be able to share the screen and show that picture or whatever, but go to ringsidereporter.com and you can see the picture. He looks really dry.
So, I don't know.
I don't know, man. He looks good, man. I'll tell you what. I think I know people are saying he's going to shock the world. I don't know if he'll shock the world. But I think he's going to definitely put up a better fight than people think he's going to put up, put it that way. I mean, I think Canelo, if you put skills down on the table, man, Canelo's got better skills. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, if you put it down on paper, Canelo's got the better skills. He just does. But it's not like Chavez doesn't have any skills either. Chavez has a lot of good skills too. I just think Canelo is better. Canelo should win. But if Chavez comes and comes ready to fight, man, when you're talking about a rivalry, like I said, man, all the records and all the BS goes out the window, man. So, yeah, absolutely.
And I would suspect, guys, that there's a rematch clause.
No, there ain't no rematch clause. No way.
There isn't a rematch clause if Canelo loses?
Well, I think if Canelo loses, but I don't know. I don't know if there is a rematch. I mean, it would have to be a Canelo loss in order for that to come in.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
Chavez
is.
Can I get a cigarette?
Right. 508. You are live.
Hello.
Hey, Georgie.
Hey,
what's up?
On?
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
Trying to get into a quiet place, Bebo. Trying to get in the quiet room. Well, let me start with Canelo. Let me start with Canelo and Chavez, bro. You guys seen Chavez? What's going on with this man? When they're gonna pull that blood out of that dude? Where's that at?
I just got.
WBC,
you know what? I just got
said that they
I just got.
They
a
got
text.
Tested.
I just got a text. He got tested. They've both been tested three times. Both Chavez and Canelo have been tested three times by VADA. This is what Jose Suleiman sent a tweet saying that VADA has been tested by Chavez Jr. and Canelo three times already and all came back negative.
Wow.
I don't know. We're going to have to make a phone call down to the VADA office down there because I don't believe that, man. That dude don't look natural at all, bro. What's going on here? As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you who's going to win the fight. I'm going to tell you who's going to win the fight right from the go. You know who's going to win? The Mexican pharmaceutical companies. That's who's going to win.
We don't fuck around in
brutal. That's brutal. That's brutal.
LegalZoom.com, baby. You're in trouble.
Yo, but listen, man, that he looked good. Now, I mean, all jokes to the side, the man looked good. He looked dedicated. Chavez can pull it out. You guys say that, okay, Canelo, I-wise, he got the better skill. But like I said last week, what he got? The loss against Mayweather and a semi-loss against fucking Lara? Who else he beat?
It could be argued.
Yeah, well, hey, I scored the fight for Laura. I agree with you, Georgie.
It's a semi-loss, a semi-win. So when he has to step up, he haven't won.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if Chavez is really a step up. I say he could be because of his size. You know what I'm saying? So
when
I don't know, man. He got...
You know, when
he got a lot to prove, Canelo. He got a lot to prove. Even like when Canelo hydrate, what he hydrate to like box 7 something.
Maybe.
Anybody know how many pounds he put afterwards?
How much? Yeah. How much does he?
Usually, he gets up to about close to 170.
Wow, really? That,
because,
that
well,
cool. So
when fighting at 155, from what
yeah, because,
when he
well,
fought,
remember when yeah, he 50. Fought Mayweather? Remember when he fought Mayweather? The catch weight was 152. When he actually weighed in the night of the fight on the HBO unofficial scales, he came in 174. So that's 22 pounds.
Wow, so he does come up a lot to them. I thought Chavez would have that benefit, the size advantage, because everybody know that Chavez is legendary. That motherfucker showed like 30 pounds extra. I don't know how this man does it. I don't know how Chavez can drop so many pounds, bro. This is like craziness. I don't understand. Like, that's something
natural
about it.
Oh, how dare you.
On the
wind straw. He's doing it all natural, man. He's a beast.
Listen, who else on boxing? Listen, but who else on history have come up as big as Chavez in a fight? I remember when he fought, I believe he was like 30 pounds on dude. So it was crazy. This man, like, he put pounds, like, I don't know from where. I just don't. It's not natural. I never seen any other fighter do it. Anybody? You guys remember anybody putting all these fucking pounds? I don't remember nobody in the history of football who can do that.
Who was that? Gotti? Remember Gotti and who was the other guy? Who was that other kid, man, that he fought?
Joey Gamache.
Gamache, that's right. Yeah, Joey
Gamache. Yeah, that's it.
He outweighed him like 30 or 40 pounds come fight day.
That's right, yeah.
And they're trying to
This is why I love
pounds. It was ridiculous. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
He put on 28 pounds, this guy.
Yep.
Oh my God.
That fight
this is what I love about this show. I call here, I ask a question, you guys know the answer. You see, you guys got a lot of historical facts that I don't possess.
He sounds
you guys
shocked.
Are really good
yeah.
when it comes
to you do.
No, I mean you guys really know your shit. You guys really know your shit, bro.
Well, we do what we can, brother. We do what we can.
All right, so I know we don't have a lot of time, so let me go with the cover list. So I already said everybody knows that this man fought like 16 times for free from the beginning of his career. And he got robbed.
Here we go.
Now, baby, come on, man. Eric! Eric, fuck me up, baby!
116, 111 for Sergey Kovalev in that first fight. Like I said, and everybody talked about what a great second half of the fight Andre Ward did. Again, I thought Andre Ward just had a better second half, but that doesn't mean he won the fight. I split the fight 3-3 at the end of the last six rounds. Three for Kovalev, three for Ward. And just because he had a better second half of the fight does not mean he came back and won the fight.
You see, Eric, you are a fair man, buddy. You are a fair man because we all know that Beast's evilness have no limits. So, Beast, how could you give this man the 10 round? Last time you gave him the 10 round, something that was obvious as shit. No score shaming or anything, but come on, baby, the 10 round? This shit was crazy. And you gave him, I think, was the sticks. I think you give him the six or the seven. And one of those two rounds, Ward didn't even throw a right hand. Not even one right hand. And Kovalev landed like three at least. And you give him the round two, which is beyond my understanding, but what can we do? Anyway, this time around, I think people are not going to back it up. How many they saw? Like 150? About 10, about 20? The pay-per-view sell? What was it?
I think it was like 200, wasn't it, Eric?
200?
It was like 151. Nah. 160.
It was very disappointing. It was. I know it was disappointing, put it that way.
I know. Yeah, well, pretty... I say that the rematch is not going to make not even 100K. It's not. People are not going to back it up. And I'm going to say something that is controversial and may offend some people, so I'm gonna apologize on front. But that being said, I think a lot of white people, after they see the outcome of the last fight, they're like, you know what, I am backing this shit up. And I don't blame, as a matter of fact, you don't even have to be white. As a matter of fact, any human being will do the same. But that's what I'm gonna do. Every time you think I back Danny Garcia up just because he's Puerto Rican or something like that, this is what is wrong with humanity. We got a lot of people just backing up the racists and backing up the racists. And what is fair don't count. And we got to come out of this mentality, people. I say this is why we fucking are the way we are in the world. They got to stop,
well,
man.
I tell you, I would like to see this. I would like to see this pay-per-view tank as well, just like the last one tanked. Because, you know, everybody knows I've been saying it since we had the show. I hate the pay-per-view model. You know, and this is not, you know, Ward Kovalev 2, that's not really a pay-per-view fight. If they put Chocolatito, well, that wouldn't go on the undercard anyway. But, you know, they're going to put Rigo on this undercard. Rock Nation is going to take – Rock Nation
it.
Also, from what I understand, is the lead promoter in this. So, and they were the lead promoter in the other one. And they just –
I heard Koto talk, too. I heard they're going to put Colton in there, too. They tried to beef up that card. That's the only way they're going to do good. Like, if they start putting, you put Regal, maybe you put Colton there. But I think Colton's such a diva that he may want to be, like, the main star of the whole thing. So, who knows?
Right. It would make
sense. But
they
definitely got to put
it. Would sense, but I don't
it
think
won't make sense for him.
Yeah, I don't
but
think
they only 10 million.
Put on card.
But they own Colton $10 million, though. And how many fights he got left with Rock Nation and shit?
He's only got one fight left, but it's gonna be a big one.
Pay $10 million for only the last fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they gotta squeeze. They gotta squeeze those $10 million into two or three fights. At least two fights.
Robert, What did Cotto sign?
It was for three fights, $50 million, and he's already had two of them. Got one left.
Wow, Cotto raped these people. Wow.
Yeah, they can't
Cotto
even
raped
yeah,
them. Big
they
time.
Can't even, they can't even put him on that card to draw people in because they couldn't afford him. You know what I mean? They couldn't afford to put him on that card. No way.
Wow. That was a bad deal, man. Bad deal, bro.
For Cotto. Horrible for Rock Nation.
Yeah, well, oh, man, Cotto's smiling all the way to the bank. You know that.
That's
but,
right.
But Rock Nation, they fuck up. I don't know what management they doing down there, but that was crazy. Puerto Ricans themselves, they know that Cotto's on his last leg. So, you know, the man was fighting for his family. Cotto said it many times. I'm just here fighting for my family. I'm just not really here for, you know, he accomplished what he accomplished already. You know, and it's like that. When you reach that God status in Puerto Rico as a boxer, you're on that pedestal forever. You know what I'm saying? So you don't need nothing. You really don't. Just more money, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, guys, I got to go back to the noise. I love you. Thanks for the show. Like, always supporting everybody out there. Give the time up and support because these people do this for free. And that has to be appreciated. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Thank you so much, Georgie.
Yeah.
Good job. Let's go out to 970. 970, you're live.
What's going on, fellas? How we doing tonight?
We're doing
How
good.
You doing?
Hand wraps, how are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well, guys. Thanks. Hey, man, I'm excited, man. Thanks for this surprise, show you guys are doing today. I appreciate you guys' hard work, man. That's big news, man. Big news. Got the rematch. You know, we always say we got to give we don't give any credit to people who take mandatories, right? Or, like, if these are mandatory, you know, we shouldn't
right.
give you any credit for taking them, right? But what about rematches, man? Canelo didn't give Lara that rematch. What about
nope,
this man who pulled
have.
The biggest fucking upset of the year? Biggest upset
yeah.
of the year, man, and he's fucking taking the immediate. Like, that's what I'm
yeah.
talking about, man. That's true championship right there.
Yep.
That's how you solidify yourself in the Hall of Fame, man. That's Hall of Fame shit right there. Credit, you know, to Andre Ward. I had that man winning the first fight by a round. It's kind of like that, like the Triple G fucking Daniels fight, man. Whoever won the 12 was going to take the fucking fight for me, and I had Andre Ward winning the 12. So, man, I'm just excited, guys. This is awesome. You know, we all owe a big thank you to Andre Ward because he didn't have to fucking take this fight, man. He could have just walked away and said he beat Kovalev. Suck a dick, you know?
You know, and not only that, I mean, like you said, I mean, he could have taken it and he could have rode off in the sunset with it and still made the Hall of Fame easily, first ballot,
yep.
you know, and
yep.
so it's not a huge deal. So for him to do this, and I think he's going to continue, obviously, but look at Triple G and Jacobs. They fought a couple of weeks ago, and that's a tight, tight fight, man. Like I said, I thought that Jacobs won the fight. There's no rematch in there. He's not rematching that guy anytime soon. You know, Ward Kovalev, and, you know, and again, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to rematch him. He could tie it in court. He didn't have to rematch him, but he did. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, man,
guys,
I was actually not.
What's going to happen?
Go ahead, Beam.
Were you guys worried about this rematch not happening? Because I was very confident this rematch was going to happen because I know Andre Ward. I don't know him personally, but
right.
I just, from what I've seen Andre Ward, I just knew he was not going to pass this rematch out.
Yeah,
I personally did, man. I was a little worried because I felt like, personally, I think Andre Ward is a nice guy. You know, I've had the pleasure of being in his gym a while back, and I know that guy's down to earth. But the way he was coming across after this win was kind of arrogant, man. I was real shaky, man. He was making me feel like he did not want the rematch, and if it was something that he was going to consider, it might be something in the future. I didn't think he would take the immediate, to be honest, man. Did you think he would, Eric?
No, I thought they were going to work something out. Like Ward's going to take another guy first and then we'll rematch after that. And I didn't expect an immediate rematch. I really didn't.
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, you getting excited for that Canelo? You getting excited for Chavez, man? He looking good? What you think?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that fight, and I'm glad. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, if the picture is true and what they say is true, I'm glad to hear that Chavez seems to be in reasonable shape. I can't wait to see it. I'm looking more forward to this fight than I am Ward Kovalev, too.
Nice. Did you guys hear about Canelo in there sparring fucking light heavyweights and shit, man? He's sparring.
I heard he's sparring some big guys, I've been watching some of his sparring. He's been sparring some big guys.
Yeah, man, he's sparring some big motherfuckers, too, man. And them videos, man, he looking extra sharp, man. I don't know if, you know, Chavez looks kind of dried up, man. I don't know. I think this is going to be an easier one than I thought. Chavez just doesn't look like that would be a natural weight for him. He looks, if everybody's saying he looks good, he looks cut, he looks lean. I see a person that's body is, like, way bigger than what is. You know, frame, his muscle build is showing, man. His frame's bigger than his muscle build. It just doesn't look right. He looks dry.
Well, I still think Canelo will win, but I'm interested in the fight, you know.
Well, you know what I'm seeing?
I drew like 30 fucking pounds, so, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know what I am seeing, though? I'm seeing a lot of like sparring videos and like technical videos come out from Canelo, like him hitting the bags, and there was one of him hitting the uppercut bag today and stuff like that. And so I'm seeing a lot of those type videos, and he looks good, man. But I'm not really seeing too much from Chavez other than pictures of his body. You know what I mean?
Because Chavez is in the sauna doing jumping jacks, baby.
hey, check this out. Hey, Robbie, this will give you some confidence. Nacho Beristain was on ESPN Deportes saying that he gives Chavez a 40% chance of winning if he goes in. Fully focused. He said Nacho Beristain said he would have him ready to beat Canelo in like a year. And then the reporter said, but the fight's in like a month. You realize that, right? He goes, exactly. So I'm giving him like a 40% chance to win it right now. I was laughing my ass off, man. If the coach ain't got no hope in this kid. He's cashing a check, buddy. That's just a little inside info for you guys. I was laughing my ass off. It's on ESPN Deportes, the most recent one from like 2 days ago. That fucker said he gave him a 40% chance, Robbie. That's the trainer for you. So don't put your chips on.
We don't fuck around in Mexico.
That's right.
He's on the ketogenic diet, baby. He's on
a zero carb diet. But I think Canelo will find a way to win, but I am very much interested in this fight.
Hey, you think what's over the Triple G not signing that Billy Joe Saunders deal yet, man? You think he's holding up? He's waiting? He's playing puppet?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that, to be honest with you.
I think Billy Joe Saunders is just he's just trolling. I don't think there's anything to that. I really don't. If Billy Joe Saunders wants to fight, the fight will happen. He's on Twitter. He's on Twitter going nuts. That's just Billy Joe Saunders promoting.
Big Dizzle, baby.
He's like,
Big Dizzle. The clock is ticking.
He's like that dude that wants to fight but wants to make like the loudest noise to make sure he brings all the attention, and there's somebody's gonna prevent the fight from stopping. You know, somebody's gonna tell you guys to cool it before it actually happens. So he's screaming. Getting everybody's attention, and then right before the fight happens,
he's getting everybody's
attention. Oh, yeah, you guys seen that? He wasn't ready for me. Yeah, he's kind of retarded.
Yeah,
I don't know what's up with Billy. All right, guys, well, appreciate your time. I'm super pumped. Maybe I'm taking that. I'm taking Andre Ward in that rematch, man. Easy money by like I'm gonna say eight to four rounds, baby. 8-4 rounds, easy money.
9-3
All right, hand reps, man. We're gonna get running, man. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it. We appreciate it for sure. All right. Now let's talk about this weekend's action. Vasyl Lomachenko versus Jason Sosa. Let me ask you, Beeb, is this a good fight for Lomachenko, or is this a showcase? I mean, is Jason Sosa going to put up a fight in this, or is he just going to get run over?
This is going to be like... I, I'm going to say it's a showcase, but it may not play out like a showcase. You ever see those types of fights where a fighter will win every round, but every round he has to work to win the round?
Yeah.
So that's what, how I see this fight playing out, though. I like Jason Sosa. I really do. But he's just going to be going up against someone that's just a couple notches above him, and that's no disrespect to him. But because of the way he fights, because he brings it, because he's such a tough, rugged, grinder-type individual, the fight's actually going to play out to be entertaining while it lasts, and it could very well go the distance. I just don't see a conceivable way that Jason Sosa wins this fight. I just don't see it. He's not a huge puncher. He's not an exceptionally fast guy. Got a lot of stamina. Got, you know, very durable. You know, he's a decent inside fighter. He can put shots together, but he's going to be in there with a guy who's just an outstanding counterpuncher. He's a guy that is just a cerebral assassin. I really like Lomachenko, and as I said last week, I think he's getting better. Even though he's like 32 years old and he has had so many miles, you know, on the tank because of that extensive amateur career, but he still looks like he's developing. He still looks fresh. Like Gennady, you know, he looks like he's on the downside. You know, it seems like, you know, the odometer is taking its toll on Gennady Golovkin. He looks a little bit long in the tooth, but Lomachenko, you know, he looks fresh as a daisy, man. He just like looks like the sky's limit for this guy. And I just see great things for him. I envision him possibly winning titles at 135 and 140. He's going to be one of those multi-weight champions. He's going to be the quintessential pound-for-pound guy, even though I'm not a big pound-for-pound guy per se. If there ever was a pound-for-pound guy, or if there ever is going to be a pound-for-pound guy, it's going to be Lomachenko, in my opinion. I think he's going to be the future.
Steve, let's follow up on that for a second. What do you think a fight between him and Terrence Crawford would look like if he goes to 140?
Murder.
Right now, I would not advise that. But what I'm saying is I think Terrence Crawford will eventually go to 147, and then the division will be wide open. And that's where I think Lomachenko will excel.
My question is, should Lomachenko be fighting Sosa? I mean, everybody's high on this kid. Everybody's high on this kid, talking about Bob Arum's calling him pound for pound, which, again, I don't agree with, and we talked about that on Sunday's show. If you're talking about him in the pound for pound light, I mean, Jason Sosa? I mean, really? I mean, is this...
You know what a great fight for Lomachenko would be right now, in my opinion? It would be a Mikey Garcia fight.
Yeah.
That would be a great fight.
I for sure wouldn't put him against Robert Easter. That would be a horrible fight for Lomachenko.
Here we
go
again.
Because Robert Easter, as you know, is from Ohio, and Robert Easter is the champ.
Okay, I got a question for you, Eric. What about Lomachenko against the winner of the Petrov-Flanagan fight this weekend?
That wouldn't be bad either.
I'll take that fight. Yeah, I'll take that fight.
Terry the Truth Flanagan. I love that guy.
Terry the Truth Flanagan. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that. I don't hate that fight.
Well, you know, like I pointed out on Sunday's show, I mean, Sosa's a nice fighter. I like what I see. But I don't think he's serious competition for Lomachenko. He needs somebody on the next level. You know, either 130 or 135.
I think that's my thing, is that, you know, if you're calling him pound for pound the best out there, then I think we got better fish to fry than Jason Sosa. Also, too, moving forward here, the podcast audio, I've been getting some complaints about the podcast audio, and I can take full responsibility for that. It is completely my fault. I think I have the issue fixed. So when you download this episode or any other episode after this, it'll be fine. If you had problems with last week's episode, the Sunday show, go and download it again. The audio has been fixed, so I do apologize about that. And that's it. Omar Douglas versus Ender Cherry starts at 9 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And, hey, it's 8:59, so I don't know what you're doing. Go watch it. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robert on Twitter, at Ringside Robert. or you can call Ringside Robbie's Corner at 773-572-7781 and leave him a message. Catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find his YouTube channel at beatingtheoddswithbeeb.com. I'm at Ringside 73, and we will see you next week.
Peace, everyone.